The last, I should say. Mr. St. John?
Great. Just have a brief oral update to accompany the written update in your agenda package. First, wanted to bring to the board's attention, as well as to the public, that our office is going to, we're initiating a remodel. This is working through the Department of General Services, and the purpose of the remodel is to bring the building up to ADA compliance, primarily also to address just some basic building upgrades, improve our front entry area, partly for security for staff, make more consistent with other state agencies. The bottom line is this is going to require some displacement of staff. The work should begin is scheduled to begin in early September and take us through sometime in December. So staff are going to be, we're not moving out of the building, but there's going to be a lot of shuffling. We're already in the process of packing up boxes. And it's taking time from staff doing the other work that we have to do. And that's just a reality. During the construction, there will be staff housed in other locations, including this room. One of the implications is phone access is going to be limited for short periods of time. So I just need the public to be aware that we're going to be directing staff to be checking their voice messages, but there's going to be limited phone time, and it's just a reality. So it's a burden on staff, and there's going to be some implications as far as the public. But bear with us, we're working through it. Our board liaison made some comments about state budget and implications on staff, talked about the furlough program. You know, another implication is that that under the state budget, final budget and negotiations with the unions across the state in our system, we're losing all of our student interns by the end of this month. So just a little bit over a week, all of our students are going to be no longer able to work for us. There's some effort to hire some students back on as civil servants, as employees, but frankly, the number of available positions doesn't match what the current number of students that we have. So it's a huge loss to us, to the wonderful contribution that our students provide, but it's just a reality of the state budget situation. Going along with that, we just received word that our two retired annuitants, Bill Rodriguez and Manny Bellinegro, are also, their last day will be October 31st. So I don't like to be the bearer of this unfortunate news, but it's a reality of the state budget situation that we're in, and we're all just we're all kind of just going through this together. I also want to highlight some other staffing changes within our office. There have been a couple promotions as there's been shuffling within our management team. Fred Blatt has been hired as our new division chief of our Nonpoint Source division. And Alita Mangelsdorf, who you heard from a little earlier, is the new senior for our Basin Planning Unit. So we're really pleased to have such talented folks filling those really important positions. Highlighting just a few work accomplishments, which are also discussed in the written report. Again, I just want to kind of ring the bell, pat the back on our cleanups unit staff, who exceeded all of their performance targets for last fiscal year. This in the light of furloughs back last fiscal year, some retirements and loss of staff. Despite all that, the cleanups unit actually exceeded all of their performance targets, which was a huge accomplishment. Rebecca provided a wonderful overview of our TMBL accomplishments report, which I think just in total represents a tremendous amount of work that we're doing both in TMDL development and implementation throughout the region. So won't go into the specifics there, but it really represents a lot of really hard work in our TMDL program, and kudos to that team. There's a couple articles in here about community wastewater treatment facilities, so it's kind of in parallel to discussions that we heard from Dan Fine and the city of Monterio. Our core reg staff have been working with these types of communities, but specifically wrote some articles about northern communities to address kind of decades-old wastewater facility issues, infrastructure issues. And there's an article about a particular success story in the Smith River Rancheria about upgrades that were made to that facility. And staff are work in the core reg unit are working really hard to promote improvements to these community wastewater treatment facilities, and really to try to bring consistency region-wide between the waste discharge requirements of these facilities between our southern part of our region and our northern part of our region. That concludes my brief oral update, but then I wanted to invite Catherine Carter to come up to the table. As you'll recall, at our June board meeting, we had an item on our Klamath Fish Health Assessment Team, and due to a particularly long board meeting, I made the difficult decision to ask Catherine to not do her presentation, and I wanted to bring her back today to give you a brief update on the Klamath Fish Health Assessment Team. So thanks for your flexibility and for being here.
Good afternoon, Chairman Noren and members of the board. My name is Catherine Carter, and I'm a member of your staff in the TMDL Development Unit, and I'm the coordinator of the Klamath Fish Health Assessment Team. And I promise this is going to be very interesting and informative and very brief to end the day with. So I'm here. I'm just going to give a brief overview and background on the Klamath Fish Health Assessment Team, or KFAT as we call ourselves, and then give you an update of what we're doing this year in 2012. KFAT's a technical work group that was formed in the summer of 2002 after the adult fish kill in the Lower Klamath River. It was the largest fish kill that ever occurred in the Klamath Basin, and over 34,000 fish were killed, including 33,000 salmonids. And in the Klamath, the salmonids are comprised of three species, which are coho salmon, Chinook salmon, and steelhead trout. KFAT's a technical work group that was formed because of this fish kill, with two express purposes. And the first was to gather information to be able to provide early warning to hopefully alleviate any future fish kills. And the second was to provide a large-scale coordinated monitoring effort to document conditions at the beginnings of, during, and after a future fish kill. There are very diverse participants of KFAT, which is part of what makes it such a great collaborative process. Federal and state agencies, the tribes, and a lot of non-governmental organizations. KFAT uses water quality and fisheries information from members throughout the basin to determine river conditions and the potential that there may be a fish kill. This information is then shared with agency management and resource managers so they can use this to make informed decisions about resource allocations in the basin. And as I said earlier, if a fish kill is imminent or likely to occur, we will coordinate a large monitoring response to capture and get better idea of what the conditions were so we can use that information to make future planning better. Because KFAT's a technical work group, we don't have any resource allocation. We cannot make determinations of resource allocation, but we do make sure that we share our information and our knowledge with resource managers, and many people, many of the members who participate in KFAT also participate in groups throughout the Klamath Basin that do influence resource management decisions. To aid us in our mission, we've developed two documents. The first is the Klamath River Basin Fish Kill Response Plan, which defines our role in the basin and lays out our coordination and monitoring activities. It also designates who the lead for a response would be, whether it will be a tribe or a governmental organization. It also defines data reporting protocols and defines our what we call our readiness levels, which we use to inform each other and members of the public what the potential of fish kill is. And it uses a stoplight symbology that goes from green through yellow and orange to red, with green being all conditions are okay, and red being that a fish kill is occurring. The second document we developed was a training manual for our response plan, and it lays out all the water quality and fisheries and disease monitoring protocols that we would use in a response. We've had to date three trainings, including one in just before the last board meeting. Oops, I'm going backwards. We also have a website through which we can disseminate information to members of the public. We were fortunate enough to recently be moved to the Klamath Basin Monitoring Program's website under their collaboration tab. And this was a move that was really facilitated by Clayton, which is, I think, wonderful. It's helped us to better partner with the water quality monitoring folks to utilize that information for our purposes to determine what conditions are like for the fishery. And it's also given us a higher profile because many people are tuned into this website, many different groups. And so I think we will be a much more visible presence. As you can see, it reflects the current readiness level to the public and describes what that is right now. We're in yellow, which I'll explain in a few moments, which gives us the need for heightened communication and awareness. So an update for 2012. This year's in-river salmonid run is predicted to be the largest run in the 34-year recorded history, with approximately a prediction of 381,000 salmonids coming into the river. This is extremely exciting and great news for both the fish populations and the recreational fishery, but it also gives us a bit more cause for concern because the larger numbers of fish coming in the river means there might be a greater likelihood of a fish kill, increased disease, and potentially a fish kill. Just for reference, this run size is more than two times larger than the run was in 2002 when the fish kill occurred, although, again, I'll speak in a few moments, we are doing a better job to make sure that there are better flows in the river this year. So in preparation, KFAC conducted a response plan training. We had over 50 participants from many, many diverse groups, and feel that that has allowed us to be prepared to go out and do a monitoring response on a moment's notice. As I mentioned, we increased the readiness level to yellow, which has facilitated increased communication. We're having biweekly conference calls right now to update one another on the fishery and river conditions. And all it takes is an email to me, and those biweekly calls will be as frequently as we need them. Additionally, I am the contact, and anything anyone sends to me, I disseminate to the entire group, and we can make determinations as a group about if we need to have more communication. We also held a special teleconference led by the Yurok tribe where they laid out for us what their incident command system would look like and how we would be responding in the event of a fish kill. They've started taking a tally of resources, both in people and in materials that would be used for a response. And so we're in a very good position this year that should we need to respond, we can do it very quickly. The Yurok tribe is also working on a press release just to let the public know about what the conditions are this year, about the presence of KFAT in the basin, and the signs that they should look for, and who to notify if they think there is a fish kill that is beginning. KFAT members also participate in a very important group in the basin called the Trinity Fall Flow Group, which just this year has come up with a technical memorandum making recommendations for two different flow scenarios to the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation. The first scenario is a preventative flow release from mid-August to the end of September, which would request a release of a minimum of 3,200 cubic feet per second in the lower river, which is about double the flows they were in 2002. And in the event a fish kill occurs, they requested to double those flows to 6,400 cubic feet per second in an effort to flush the river to get the disease out of the lower river and helpfully move some of the fish upstream to alleviate conditions. The Bureau has accepted this and gone through the NEPA process and is currently implementing those higher flows. And the last I checked, the flows are about 3,300 CFS, which is great. The trigger for KFAT to do a monitoring response is the same one that the KFAT, that the Trinity Riverfall Flow Group uses to trigger those higher doubling of flushing flows, and that is increased presence of ick, a disease in the fish in the river, and more than 50 dead fish in a particular area of river. So we're on the same page about when we will do some sort of response that shows a fish kill is occurring. So that's it for my update, very brief. I just wanted to say that this is one of the groups, I think, that highlights the communication and coordination that's really working up there in the Klamath Basin. And additionally, we're excited because this high level of communication has allowed us to do some really good pre-planning this year, where we feel that we are in a very good position to respond, do a monitoring response if we need to, but additionally, all of our coordination and communication has allowed us to pre-plan and ask for those increased flows to hopefully not be in a situation where we have to respond. So thank you.
I'm really glad you came back and presented this to us. Very informative, really great work. John, did you have a
question? I had very brief comments. You mentioned the problems with a large fish run with potentially more numbers for disease vector. But also the other problem is there's been less rain, so you have simultaneously greater farmer need coinciding with one of the best run in many years, and navigating those waters, to make a terrible pun, is very sensitive, and I appreciate your efforts on doing that. And then I also want to say, and this, we tend to measure the big fish because you can see them. That does not mean conditions are so good right now, actually, for some of the smaller fish in the upper regions, for some of the reasons I mentioned. And, of course, that affects future runs. And then lastly, a lot of the studies now show it's not minimum flows which prevents a fish kill, but the way nature handles it is they have on some average years when the conditions are good in the ocean, and otherwise they get huge runs, and then those will supplement a lot of adverse events in future years, including those extremely low flows and potential die-offs in those. So all of that says this is a very critical year, and I appreciate your work.
Thank you. And I want to just touch on the point about it's the big fish are easy to see, and they get a lot of reaction. We also have a lot of members who participate who are from the tributary streams, especially Scott and Shasta and Salmon, the bigger tributaries, whom all every year give us reports about seeing some juvenile fish. So we are on top of that. It is something we definitely respond to and keep track of also.
Any other questions, comments? Catherine, thank you very much. Nice work. Last item here is other items of interest and requests for any future issues to be brought before the board. Mr. Corbett.
Yes, it somehow got lost, and it wouldn't be necessarily appropriate for the October meeting, but I had wanted to have us honor the Humboldt County Farm Bureau for their tremendous work on just rolling up their sleeves and making the dairy regulations work. And I think I had asked for that prior occasion for this. And similarly, Dr. Lundberg, who has not only do we have Holly, his daughter, working here and his prior service off the board, but he was certainly inspirational to me. And I thought, instead of waiting until someone dies, let's honor him while they're still alive. And so I'm hoping that the next regular Santa Rosa meeting or Eureka meeting for the Farm Bureau, we could honor them, because they just both, one a group and one an individual, done great work for water quality and solving problems.
Thank you. Any other requests? Okay, I show the next board meeting being October 4th, 2012. It says here location to be determined. I assume, though, we're going to be in Yreka?
We're working on the exact location.
Okay, that's okay.
But we do
anticipate. We're going to be in Siskiyou County.
It will be in Siskiyou County.
Okay. With that, we're done, folks. Thank you very much. Thank you, Steve Moore, for coming and spending the whole meeting with us. Look forward to see you again in the future.
I think this is one of our fastest meetings.
We just didn't do lunch.